Good morning, welcome to our second Sunday in Advent celebration. We're looking at unexpected joy. It was unexpected news last week, it's now unexpected joy. Before I begin, let's just have a moment of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful time of Advent where we move forward to celebrate the wonder of your amazing gift of your Son to us, born as a babe 2,000 years ago. But what he brought, what he did, is the story we want to share and tell today. And Lord, as we open up our hearts and our lives to you, we want to know, we want to experience this amazing joy, your joy, the joy that fills us to overflowing. So may it be so, Father. If that's the case, we realize we have to empty ourselves of everything else. And so, Father, if there's anything within us that will stop that joy from welling up, Lord, just deal with it. Forgive us, wash us and cleanse us. And then, Lord, do that work. Prepare us to receive all that you have for us this morning. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 and see how the announcement of this joy came into the world. And I've entitled, as I said, my address, Unexpected Joy. Joy. That's a word which we often hear at a time of fear. We sing about joy to the world and the story of Jesus and his birth bringing that. Tidings of comfort and joy, we sing, or joy of heaven to earth come down. Maybe joy is one of the very best presents we can share this year, because with the joy we feel in celebrating Christmas is all about welcoming God's Son, welcoming it into our world and into our lives. The unexpectedness of joy is the consequence of knowing God is near. At Christmas, we celebrate the Word made flesh who lives amongst us, as John 1 says. God has visited his people and promised us that we are never alone. In our midst, he offers the people he loves the fullness of joy for which we were made. When we accept the friendship of God, we experience joy. The psalmist says, "You have filled my heart with great joy." It was Leslie Newbegin said the church should be an explosion of joy in the community. I love the image of a church that is so full of God, so full of his Spirit that it can't help but explode with joy. Not just inside the church, but out into the community. What about it? What a change there would be in our community if that was the case. Psalm 16 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy." We get a hint here, don't we, of what and how that joy comes. This Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, the one who brings justice, peace, freedom, and real joy. Joy must be the habit of the heart, induced and sustained simply because we've been with Jesus. When was the last time you invested time, effort, initiative and prayer in your relationship with him, and to that point where you're just filled with that unexpected joy? You know, joy in one sense is hard to define. Bucher said, "Happiness turns up more or less where you'd expect it. A good marriage, a rewarding job, a pleasant vacation. Joy, on the other hand, is notoriously unpredictable as the one who bequeaths it. It might be within our grasp to make for ourselves a predictable and fairly happy Christmas, but a joyous Christmas, like a joyous life, involves receiving something or someone that we couldn't predict or expect. Do you know, there's no other language that has as many words for joy or rejoicing as does the Hebrew language. In the Old Testament, there's 13 Hebrew root words found in 27 different words that are used for the same aspect of joy or joyful participation in worship. In his book, What Jesus Demands from the World, John Piper writes, "When Jesus demands that we rejoice, he has not forgotten the kind of world we live in. It is filled with suffering. For Jesus' demand for joy is a way to live with suffering and to outlast suffering. Therefore, this joy is serious. It's the kind you fight for by selling your possessions, as Matthew 13 says, or carrying a cross with Jesus to Calvary, as Matthew 10 says. It has scars. It sings happy songs with tears. It remembers the dark hours and knows that more are coming. The road to heaven is a hard road, but it is not joyless. We can experience this unexpected joy in life, but it might be a bit of a surprise. It says that the great philosopher and mathematician Descartes spent all his energy answering the question, why is there something and not nothing? But C.S. Lewis asked a different question, one we would all do well to ask. Why, in the face of all that is declining in our world and in decaying in nature and dying in ourselves, is there any joy instead of despair? Joy is one of the great gifts of God. It's one of the gifts we celebrate in the story of Christmas, where God comes in an unexpected and surprising way. Rick Warren, pastor and author, he knew. He discovered this. Ironically, Warren wrote an Easter sermon, What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life. And yet, by the end of that week, he'd lost his 27-year-old son. As he and his wife approached their son's house, he noted the two words of her necklace, Choose joy. Choose joy. The last emotion one could fathom at a time like that. Yet in grief, Rick Warren surrendered his heart to Jesus and, despite unanswered prayers and questions, trusted him. He accepted his pain and gave purpose to it from the beginning by becoming sensitive to the sufferings of others, thousands of whom reached out to him following his son's death. Unexpected joy at a time like this? Through COVID-19, how can that be? Well, Isaiah knew. In Isaiah 54 and 55, he identifies scenes of sorrow and concern. The barren woman, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, it says in verse 1. The deserted wife in verse 6, leading to family pain and struggle. Dreams of a life, dreams of joy shattered. The ruined city, it says, lashed by storms and not comforted in verse 11. But 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah sees joy in these most unlikely places. The barren woman begins to sing. The abandoned wife knows she's loved. The ruined city is rebuilt, not with bricks and mortar, but with rubies and sapphires and precious stones. Then God says to these people, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. You see, the unexpected joy comes amidst fear. It resides in shadows of gloom. Christmas isn't supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be full of joy. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But in reality, you know that first Christmas wasn't any of these things. It may have been the worst Christmas ever. Babies were killed. Mary and Joseph fled for their lives and became refugees. The first Christmas was a mixture of ecstasy and sorrow. Matthew tells the dark side of the Christmas story. But there's joy unexpectedly in the darkness, because ultimately, light defeats darkness. Hallelujah. Always. Light will always demolish the darkness. And so it is for many people this year at Christmas. There are those who stood by the grave of someone they've loved this year. Others have known the wounds of divorce or separation. Still others, well, they know the physical pain of an unwanted condition. And at Christmas, they have a sense the plans of their lives have been put on hold. Then there are those who battle the unseen force of depression that can flood them even in the midst of lights and tinsel and music. This is a difficult time for so many. Often in fear, we come bankrupt of our spiritual assets. I bring nothing to the table. My very best amounts to filthy rags. And yet, we hear the angels say, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Reminder that hymn again, joy of heaven to earth has come down. That unexpected mega joy, that's the word, that great joy is mega, that mega joy. And it means the end of fear. And it's with these words that the first news of Christmas was made to the world about the greatest event that has ever taken place. It is with these words that God speaks to us today. Fear not. The angels, messengers of God, spoke these two words. The shepherds were afraid. You know, but the fear runs deeper than that. Fear is the first evidence of the fall following Adam's sin. Do you know what he said? I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid. You know, fear has been stalking our hearts since, all the way down through the centuries, across the spectrum, from spiders to dying, there's fear. Have you ever noticed each announcement of the birth of Christ has within them, don't fear? Zechariah was gripped with fear when he saw the angel, don't fear. Angel tells Joseph, do not be afraid. And Mary was troubled, it says in Luke 1:29. And yet, don't fear. The angels tell us we can turn our fear into joy. I bring you good news of great joy, mega joy. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. In the season of Advent, I am reminded so unexpectedly that joy is embodied in a person, Jesus. Born to a poor family in an obscure town, who was despised by the political and religious powers, but who embraced the marginalized and outcast, who considered it joy to endure the cross, to make everything in this cruel, broken world whole again. Outcome? Unexpected joy. You see, Jesus' emptying is my filling, our fullness. His poverty is our spiritual wealth. His death is mine and your life. His chastisement is my peace. His stripes, our healing. His nails broke our chains. His crown of thorns becomes our crown of righteousness. His cross is my redemption. His it is finished is a brand new beginning. What unexpected joy is that? This is when unexpected joy, the miracle of Christmas, comes to bear on wounded hearts. Christ came into the world in bodily form to complete a mission that would bring a conquering joy to the hurting. And this is what Advent is all about. A deep, serious, abiding, unexpected joy that doesn't ignore the pain of life, but doesn't buckle underneath it either. Celebrating Advent reminds us that Christmas is at its core about a God that keeps his promise and enters into our suffering and pain through a babe in Bethlehem. God desires for you to experience this joy. Joy has a name, Jesus. And Jesus offers us real joy because in him you're accepted just as you are. You're loved, you're forgiven, you're given real purpose. Matthew says, Jesus himself is the great joy that makes all the attendant joys of our salvation so great. The risen Christ is the treasure hidden in the field, as it says in Matthew 13. He's the pearl of great price, as it says in that same chapter. He's not just a God with us here to save us, but he himself is our greatest joy, the preeminent treasure who will satisfy our human souls forever. The reality of Advent is that we are on a journey to joy, even greater than Christmas joy, a joy that will never end. The joy of Christmas is no ordinary joy, but the mega joy of redemptive history, your redemption. So as I close, we have these unexpected expressions of joy. It's a mark of the kingdom of God. His coming was heralded with this great joy. You know, I often wonder whether even at this Christmas time, there will be a visitation outside the established church that can only be expressed. Glory of God has been revealed and filled the recipients with joy. Oh, I know Jesus promised it for his church in John 15. My joy within you, your joy complete. But you know, like the Jews who couldn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, so we are in danger of committing the same sin. This joy is not for me. This joy is not for me. And yet, we can experience this unexpected joy, Christian joy, that flows from a relationship with Jesus. Wayne Grudem says it is joy that results from being in the presence of God himself, and joy that even now partakes of the character of heaven. It is the joy of heaven before heaven, experienced now in the fellowship with the unseen Christ. Joy of heaven to earth has come down to me and to you. And in spite of everything you have, you're still searching to find purpose and meaning. Here's purpose and meaning. A baby born for you, who will die for you, who will take away your sins. Even your joy can be increased. It's not your possessions. Your joy is found in a person, the Christ child, baby God, as we said last week. I wonder, do you see the need to pursue at all costs radical joy in Christ? Joy is not the absence of sadness in the midst of difficulty, especially as we go through this COVID-19 experience. Joy is much deeper. Joy is a spiritual quality that sustains us in the midst of life's challenges as well as life's good times. Joy is less a feeling based upon our experience and more of a lifestyle that comes from experience the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Bushner writes, God created us in joy and created us for joy. And in the long run, not all the darkness there is in the world and in ourselves can separate us finally from that joy. So Advent, this great time of the year, this message of great joy and peace. Look around. There's a need to increase our joy, isn't there? Look at the community, our neighborhoods. There's not a great deal of this real joy, is there? You know, we're short on joy. And some will want to shrink away from all the festivities. You just struggle with this whole aspect of being joyful. But the joy referred to here is untouched by external and internal forces. You see, this joy is based on a living reality of all that God is and what he's done and what he longs to do in us and his church. May we have that visitation of unexpected joy again. A bit like Blaise Pascal, the 17th century Frenchman, brilliant man, great philosopher, the lion of scientific circles in Paris, he was known as. When he died, they found a piece of paper sewn inside his shirt. Day of Grace, 1654, 10:30 to 12:30. Fire. By the way, he didn't imagine things. Fire, fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Forgetfulness of the world and everything else save God. Righteous Father, the world hasn't known you, but I know you. Fire, fire, fire. Joy, joy, joy. Tears of joy. He experienced it. That joy unspeakable, unexpected, but full of glory. The joy of heaven to earth had come down. May you know it as a wonderful reality today and as you venture toward this glorious time when we can celebrate again the birth of God's Son, our Saviour. Amen.